Christian service. When we think about Jesus and about his ministry when he was on earth, we can sometimes get the idea that he was, in essence, some kind of celebrity. After all, he went around preaching publicly. He also worked many miracles, whether it was healing the sick or possessed people, multiplying loaves of bread, or calming a storm on the Sea of Galilee. It's true that at the time of his earthly life, he was so famous and influential that many of his fellow Jews thought that he was going to turn out to be a great military leader, that he would get rid of the Roman occupying force and become king of an independent Israel. But if you read the Gospels carefully, it becomes clear that he never really took advantage of his status. When he healed someone, he took pains to try to keep it secret and asked them not to tell anyone about it. When the crowd tried to seize him and make him king, he simply disappeared from their midst. And despite the fact that he was applauded wherever he went, he never lorded it over other people. Why was that? If it wasn't power that motivated Jesus, what was the driving force behind his ministry? St. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Jesus spent his entire ministry serving other people. He was so selfless that he even served us by dying in our place. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, after Jesus has washed his disciples' feet, he says this: "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." It's interesting that washing the disciples' feet was not just a symbol of service, it was a real household chore. The disciples' feet would have been genuinely dirty and dusty from tramping around the countryside all day with the Messiah. It's also interesting that he didn't just serve them by providing a basin and a towel and telling them to wash their own feet. He took care to actually wash their feet himself. And it's that personal, practical, intimate service that marked every interaction that he had with those he came in contact with. And Jesus wants us to do the same. He wants us to serve each other, not in symbolic ways by paying lip service to his instruction, but in ways where we actually supply a real need to each other. He also wants to show us that personal touch, the same way that he did when he washed their feet. Jesus also wants us to serve, not reluctantly, but willingly. Many times we read in the Gospels about how Jesus anticipated people's needs by asking, "What do you want me to do for you?" or "Do you want to be healed?" And in a similar way, he wants us to be proactive in finding out what other people need and stepping in to fill that need. And you'll notice that when Jesus finds out what's required, he serves promptly. When a blind man named Bartimaeus shouted for Jesus' attention, Jesus immediately stopped what he was doing and asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Then Jesus immediately granted his request and restored his sight. When Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, asked Jesus to heal his dying daughter, Jesus immediately went to the ruler's home and asked to see the child on her sickbed. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." When Jesus saw Zacchaeus, the tax collector, watching him from a distance in a tree, Jesus stopped what he was doing and began to speak to Zacchaeus alone. Make haste and come down. I must stay at your house today. Jesus' gracious invitation was not only an act of special favour and friendship, but a remarkable reversal of the scorn and distance usually shown to tax collectors at the time. When the apostles tried to keep children away from Jesus, Jesus rebuked them and said, "Do not hinder the children from coming to me." Then he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. When Jesus went to Peter's home, he discovered that Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. So Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. So Jesus' ministry was marked by this one trait of personal, willing, timely service, and in the Gospels he has left us an example that he wants us to follow. Remember that when Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, he says without hesitation, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself." And so, for Jesus, one of the main ways in which we can love one another is through serving one another. So what can we do to serve one another? We can actively seek to discover what people actually need, either simply through observation or by asking someone else what we can do for them and how we can help them. We can serve someone else when they need help rather than just when it suits us. And we should serve other people without expecting any return for our efforts. And that involves also not seeking the reward of being noticed. It takes a lot of the merit out of our service if we do it in the hope that someone will notice it and praise us. So serving in unseen ways can be more loving than doing it ostentatiously. And lastly, we can go the extra mile. Our aim is not to do the bare minimum to satisfy the commandment, but to do more than is required by mere courtesy. It's also worth noting that Jesus had a special care for the poor and the helpless, and so should we. Sometimes that may involve providing for the destitute, and sometimes it can involve being a friend to those in anguish and giving them a reason for hope. There are many ways in which we can serve each other. At a minimum, we can pray for each other. But we can also give money to those whom we know need it. We can spend time simply listening to someone as a form of personal service. And we can give each other help in practical ways by helping someone move home, doing grocery shopping for an elderly neighbour, or fixing things in their home. But most of our service may well revolve around serving family members. As the saying goes, charity begins at home. But in all of this, our motivation should be love. To serve wholeheartedly, personally, practically, and in a timely way is one of the main ways we can love our neighbour as Jesus has taught us to. And yet that love must be rooted in the love of God. As St. John says in his first letter, we love because he loved us first. Let's ask God for the grace to obey the greatest commandment through service. Jesus, you have left us an example of selfless love in the way you tirelessly served everyone you came in contact with. Give us the grace and the strength to overcome our love of self and instead demonstrate our love for you through our own humble service to those you have put into our lives. Show us how and when to serve so that we may please you by loving our neighbour. Teach us to be kind and attentive to the needs of others. Amen.